Have your Bibles, again, turn with us tonight. And first of all, let's turn over to, let's see, where I want to start at tonight. Turn to Psalms 27 to begin with. We'll be there in just a few minutes and hold that place, Psalm 27. We're going to try to finish up tonight. What is the commandment that we'll be teaching on? Thou shalt not what? Thou shalt not what? Bear false witness. And try to finish that tonight. Then we have one more we'll finish and we'll get into a different type of study. Father, again, we open this precious book and we thank you again for preserving it for our day. The mind of God amazes me as we think about communication and how we're in the image of God and the Lord, how you worked out for us to have a mind, a heart, a will. And dear Lord, that you convey to us through words. God, who is from everlasting to everlasting, and bringing us into time, and the Lord dealing with us through down the history as far as humanity is concerned, and the fact that we can learn about you. You created us in His image, your image, to some degree, that we have capacity to learn, to make decisions, dear Father, to have a mind, to be able to not only learn about you through your word, but converse with you through prayer, which is words that we come to the throne of grace with. Lord, what a privilege. We're not left ignorant concerning the things that God wants. Many times we choose to be ignorant because we don't study and want to hear it, and we'll go our own way. But you have given everything that's needed for us to know who you are, what you're doing, your plan, your purpose, not only for the world and for humanity, but for each individual who comes along in life and lives a period of 50 to 100 years in this life. Now, again tonight, we realize that we're human beings who live with each other. We have this capacity to mingle with each other and so forth. So, this commandment tonight deals about that one thing that you said so much about, and that is how we get along with each other. And I pray you'd help us finish it and then move on to the last one and get something new. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week we talked about the different ways that this commandment could actually be used in the English language, meaning to break this commandment. I gave you a number of different things that could be done. We talked about lying and, of course, slander and backbiting and belittling and gossiping, rumors and there's forgery and railing and whispering and tale-bearing and fibbing and fables and fabrication and deceit and trump-up things. These are just a few of the words that have been used. We talked also about this commandment can be broken in many different ways, not just in the fact of someone actually telling a lie, though there's different ways it could be done. We also talked about that, and I remind you to keep in mind, that every untrue statement may not be a lie. And I gave you an example of that. I want to get into it. You'll hear the tape later if you'd like. And then I also made the statement that some true statements are lies or can be a lie, depending on what one says it and how they evaluate a situation. And I gave you an example of that. And then we talked about children who exaggerate. And I made the statement, this is an area where some people may negotiate about, but a child's innocent until they begin to learn what is right and wrong. And you can't claim that innocent after you begin to learn what right is wrong. You have to be responsible for it. So children do exaggerate sometimes when they're little and know nothing else. They have to grow in not only academics, but hopefully in grace and knowledge too. And when a child is honest about what it's evaluating and in turn makes a statement about something, doesn't necessarily mean he's lying. It's just the fact he don't understand. Or if he is lying, he don't know anything about it. And so exaggerate. By the way, adults exaggerate too. Someone go catch a fish like this, and they tell it about 10 times, it comes this big, amen? I mean, it just seemed like it grows. I heard a person say one time, the first time I heard him tell about that fish, he said it's grown 6 inches since he told it the last time. So we have a tendency, I don't know what about it, just honest to do that. Now, where we would exaggerate, we'd be lying, but where a child is innocent, don't know any better, is entirely different. Then we talk about this tonight, what about slander, which is damage to a person's reputation? In Psalms 27 and verse 11 and 12, here's what the psalmist David said. He said, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me from over unto the will of my enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. He said, these people just come up and give false witness against me. And he said, hadn't been for the fact his relationship with the Lord, he couldn't have stood it. He just couldn't have handled it and so forth. And then he said, wait on the Lord and build good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, slander that causes personal reputation sometimes has to do because of their motives, because a person is envy, they're jealous, or they're hatred, or bitterness, or want to get revenge. These people have hurt a lot of different type people down through the ages. Now, all of God's prophets were slandered. You look in the scripture and you find anyone who does anything for God will end up being slandered somewhere or another. It's a tool of Satan that he actually works against God's people. John the Baptist was accused of having a demon in him as he preached hard and rough and came out the wilderness wearing camel hair and eating honey. And as he came, he was strong in his preaching, preached against sin. It didn't matter if you were the king sitting in the palace or if you were someone sitting in a hut somewhere or another. He came, and of course he lost his head because he preached against sin. Don't tell me. We got people today, just like when in Stephen's day, when you preach against sin, they'll gnash their teeth at you. If they don't want to listen to what God has to say, they'll do that. And then Christ came along, and Christ was accused of a number of things. He was accused of being a gluttonous. He was accused of being also a wine bibber. I don't understand why that. Main thing, I think, because of association. He associated with different people at times in teaching and publicans and so forth, and because he was guilty of association mainly. Personally, I don't think Jesus Christ ever drank any wine. But at the same time, they called him a wine bibber because he was associated with some who had been saved. He was called a deceiver. Can you imagine that? He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He is truth. And yet, here they look at the very definition of truth, and they call him the deceiver. You deceive people when he did nothing but tell them the truth. Well, when a person does not want to receive the truth, then anything they hear in truth, they would say the same thing about you if you're trying to give them truth. And so Jesus said, don't be amazed about these things. If they hate me, they hate you. And these are the things that bring that hatred to their heart. And he goes on, and of course Christ also was called a Samaritan, simply because he no doubt went through Samaria and won a Samaritan woman to the Lord. And then he was called also a traitor. He was called one possessed by a demon. He was the son of Beelzebub instead of the son of God. This is what these people in that day who were deceived themselves called the Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, every time these statements were made, they just grew bigger, and slander came to the place that even they had people to lie when he was arrested as who he was before he went to Calvary and died. It's really interesting when you begin to look at how people look at Jesus Christ and how they describe him. I've been very interested in the last few weeks about the mind. I've been very interested in the fact about God having his mind and the relationship between man. I've come to the conclusion that none of us really understand who God is other than through faith that we believe he would save us. I believe that. I know he's my heavenly Father. I know that. But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. God is so beyond what we think, it blows your mind when you try to really understand him. Amen. He deals with us. He deals with us. I recently looked at some words. We'll get into it tonight. Looked at some words about God that I never had seen before that describes him and why he does what he does and helps me understand a little bit today about the elite of intellectual beings, why they look at God in a certain way and can't see him because their intellectualism is so much higher than the average person that they don't think God is above them. And they begin to look at God in ways that you can't really explain him. If you do, you explain him in such long words and terms that average man wouldn't understand what's been said anyhow. And that's the age we're living in. We're living in a high-developed intellectual academic age in our day. We're Most people on the earth are smarter than they ever have been. Did you know that? The average person on this earth today, as you look at the bulk of the people on this earth, even with the masses of people who have very little education, still we have more knowledge that's given to people in our day that's at hand to get than there's ever been. Man can grow faster academically today than he's ever had the chance to go before if he just used the technology we have in our day. And so what's happening when we should be looking at, let God be in the center of all of this, instead of that, they're slandering his name because they think they themselves had the right to determine who God is. God doesn't have a right to tell me who he is. I've at least come to the place that analyzed things, and God in sense does not make sense. He's kind of a part of imagination. I read an article this week where one person said that God was a myth, and a lot of folks were literally programmed by a certain few to get most people to believe, and they didn't believe that God existed in our particular day. Well, my question to myself as I read that, then how do we explain all of this stuff? How do you explain even our day we're living in if God doesn't exist? So they slandered him, and they slandered him to the place that, you know, hey, folks, listen. The church has been bypassed. You got religious groups all over this world. The Bible itself has been changed. And we're living in an age today that you're going to find most people who are religiously are not right with God. And most people in churches are religion. It can go either way. They don't care which way they go as long as you go a certain way. But you better not go God's way because you don't have a very small, you don't need but a small voice, but God takes a small voice to keep people pointed in the right direction. And I believe it's getting smaller and smaller. Most people in the elite crowd think, well, this is the greatest time ever. Look what's going on. I can remember when just a few people in this nation and read a few people in this nation go place in whole revivals and whole cities would be converted and you'd find people be reverencing God, saloons were shut down, alcohol places were shut down. You don't see that today. You have what's called great meetings today and you don't have one thing change spiritually.
That's right.
Don't see one thing change. You don't see people falling on the altar and asking God to save them. Most of the time, they leave, feel like they're able to buy the world now because they've been told how to do it rather than get out and worship God.
Right.
So we're talking about slandering God to degrade him to a point that he's not the Almighty God. And by the way, I know some people don't like that, but I don't care. I've been serving God 50 years now, and I'm not going to slow down now. I've slowed down some compared to what I did 50 years ago, but I'm going to tell you what, it's time today. It don't make me authority. It just makes me understand my days are running out, and I'm going to cry louder than I've ever cried before.
Amen.
And we need to understand that. If we're not witnessing more than we ever, then something is really wrong with us about that. So again, Jesus has been slandered. Paul was slandered in his day. Many good men in this world has known what it is to be slandered. And if you don't believe it, you take a strong stand on who Jesus Christ is without deviating, and folks, you will be slandered. This world will slander you. They don't want a Christ the Bible presents it. They don't want a Christ that God presents to this world, and they're slandering. By the way, you find everyone in the scriptures, most of the time slandering came because they exalted Jesus Christ. So many good men in this world know what it is to be slandered. God forbid that we think one thing and tell another. Some people say, well, we preach Jesus Christ. But do you preach him the only way? To God? Next time one say we preach Christ, Jesus Christ, ask them that. Do you preach that Jesus Christ is the only way to get to God? The Father? Because if they don't believe that, he's a false Christ.
Right.
He's a pseudo-Christ. He's not the real biblical Christ. Now, what about whispering? Then what about whispering and tale-bearing? It's another thing in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16. I'm talking about the commandments. This is the reason why people don't like the commandments. When you really study the commandments, like God sets them forth and get into them, ladies and gentlemen, they're cut. It's like the Word of God. In fact, it is the Word of God. In Leviticus chapter, if you look with me in chapter 19 and verse 16, Scripture says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbors. I am the Lord. Verse 18 says, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. To peddle that which is not true is to be a talebearer. Now, this starts off with it, you know, it starts off simple. Have you ever heard these quotations? And I have, and you have too, and I'm sure you hear it many times more. You ever heard someone start a conversation and they say something like this, you know? They say, you know, it's too bad about so-and-so, isn't it? When someone says that, you know what? I wonder what's wrong. And you say, no, what about so-and-so? Oh, you haven't heard? That's tale-bearing right there. You hear statements like this. Well, at least, the least that's said is better, isn't it? You ever heard that? How about a statement like this? Does his mate know? Does her mate know? Know what? Comes about. And then next thing you know, you don't get it there and you get it somewhere else. And someone may say, somebody's talking about a person that got ahead in life somewhere or another. You may have seen this on the job sometime or another. They say, you know what? You know why she got ahead, don't you? You know why he got ahead, don't you? You ever heard someone say that? I know you have, but you wouldn't say you did. I tell you, if you're at a workplace somewhere or another, you've heard it, because every time somebody got ahead, somebody didn't like it. You know, hard working can get ahead somewhere or another, and somebody who's lazy won't like it. And best way to get back is try to slander them. You know why so-and-so is so popular? Do you want to really know why so-and-so is so popular? It isn't they did anything hard and tried to work their way up somewhere or another because they got there. Because you see, people measure themselves where they are. So since they didn't work hard to get where they're at and wouldn't work hard to get where they're at, then they're thinking about who does work hard and gets there automatically has got to have something wrong with it. Got to be doing something that's not exactly right. I'm talking about the way slander works. I'm talking about bearing false witness. Have you ever heard someone say something like this? Now, don't quote me, but let me tell you something. Don't tell me if I can't quote you. Amen? Don't tell me if I can't quote you. Because somebody's going to come to me, I guarantee as a pastor, and ask me about what you told me not to quote. Because if you know it, somebody else knows it. Amen? So what I'm trying to show you, I'm trying to wait. No, God is strong about this commandment, this ninth commandment. Someone, you ever heard someone say, hey, have you heard? Watch out when you hear that. Have you heard? Watch out. Because you come something coming then that's probably not exactly right. Have someone say, hey, you know, we need to pray for so-and-so because. Well, go ahead and fill it out. You can't pray unless you fill it out. Again, what about? Oh, you haven't heard? You see, ladies and gentlemen, be honest with us. And I've told you a few weeks ago, I read a and this literally happened for a couple of churches in one particular church out in Southern California that where they had to close a private prayer meeting in the church because it became the gospel bulletin board of the church. That's right. In other words, people would honestly give a prayer to pray for something, and then when they list their name, they list everything they'd be praying. Someone said, I like to pray for specifics. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. Everybody don't have to know everything about you. They don't have to know to pray for you. God knows everything about us. And when you list someone to pray for, you don't have to tell them everything to ask to pray for. So, well, you need to pray for specifics. I believe in praying for specifics, but I want to tell you this. You can ask someone to pray for you, and God knows the specifics. And he can answer the prayer. Sometimes go, it will ruin sometimes. Some people be ruined, character and otherwise, if you're not careful about that situation. A prayer is not a gossip group. It's not a gossip group. It is a place that where people get together and pray sincerely before God. And by the way, it should never leave there either except to God's throne. Amen. If someone comes to you and puts their dependence in you because they feel like you are a prayer warrior, whatever it is, it ought not to leave you except to the throne of God. Because to do so is a slander, is a gossiper, is a talebearer. I had a person... And other churches said that they would never tell a prayer group exactly what to pray for them for in that particular church. And simply because it gets spread all over the church. Now, that's sad. We have a group here. I've never heard anything like come from here and pray, but I'm telling you, we have to be very careful sometimes about when we pray, about specifics. When someone comes to you and lays their heart out before you like they would to God at the throne of grace, thank God you lay it out at the throne of grace and never go nowhere else up there. But we do need to learn how to pray for specifics at times. But for specifics means when you pray for specifics, they don't go no further except, hear me, to the throne of grace, to the throne of God. And then it is the right kind of prayer. Again, prayer meetings are not bulletin boards to announce everything about someone. It's a place where people get hold of God. Did you know that God's Word, hear me, did you know that God's Word says more about the abuse of the tongue than it does about alcohol abuse? Isn't that an amazing thing? That God's Word says more about the abuse of the tongue than it does about alcohol abuse. Then there's another error. That what about flattering? That would sound good to flatter if you flatter someone. But when flatter is given, it ought to be used in real and genuine language because it is real and genuine. But you know, there are times that people flatter just because they're trying to get something. You ever seen someone like that? Look in Psalm 55 with me, verse 21. And there's a lot of places to go here, but I won't for sake of time. In Psalm 55, in verse 21, notice what the psalmist David said. He says, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter. Now, he's talking about someone who put his hands against and such as he had put forth his hand against such as be at peace with him. He had broken his covenant. Notice, he said, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter. But watch this. But war was in his heart. You ever seen someone like that? Just such a flattery you ever seen. And then in the heart behind the scene, it was like a war going on. I mean, they can never say anything flattery to the person, but get behind, and all of a sudden you'd end up destroying that person. Watch what he says. He says also, his words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Boy, that's something. Softer than what oil is in putting your hand into it. And yet, the end result was that they were, notice what he says, drawn swords, just ready to stab. Talking about flattering here. Ahab listened to the men who flattered him in 1 Kings 22. And look what he did. You can look at that later. Now, when we talk about this lie, we were talking about what a lie is and went through a lot of things here about that and how slandered it becomes a lie. What I'd like to finish up with is this, where does a lie end up at? Where does it end up at? Where does this tale-bearing ends up at? Look in Proverbs chapter 19 with me just a minute. I'll give you a few verses quickly. In Proverbs chapter 19, and I like to read verse 5 and verse 9. Verse 5 said, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Look again with me in verse 9. A false witness shall not be unpunished. Hey, God says this twice within just a few verses. And he said, he that speaketh lies shall perish. He'll reap the consequence of that. It doesn't come right at that moment. I'd love to know how many people probably in some parts of their life did things. Wonder if God's going to do anything. And God didn't do anything. And one of us, well, you know, God must not really meant that. And then 7 years later, something happened. And God, see, God don't have to work on our timetable. God means what he says. And he says what he means. Again, look in Psalms 105 and verse 101 and verse down about verse 5. Psalm 101 and verse 5. I'm going to quickly go through these as quick as I can. Verse 5, he said, whoso privately slanders his neighbor, him will I cut off from that. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer, or I won't allow that. There's a period of time he cuts all of that off. So where does a lie end up at? I'll tell you this, God has pronounced punishment upon it, and the only thing that can remove that punishment is the blood of Jesus Christ, and Jesus took our debt for that. In Matthew chapter 12, and look in verse, and go to the New Testament, show this some in both, in verse 36, Jesus said, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Uh-oh. So we don't reap everything we sow right now, but God said there come a day in the day of judgment, every idle word. So reaping does count, doesn't it? Whatsoever man reaps, he sows, that shall he reap. He's talking again along this same line. Go in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27. He says, and there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So it's setting forth that you and I, who are our names written in the book of life, we ought not to be doing what God has condemned. We should know better than that. In chapter 22, and look in verse 15, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolatries. Hey, that's some of the things we've been talking about in the commandments, isn't it? And now this is the lifestyle of those. And whoever loveth and maketh a lie. Not only do they make a lie, they love a lie. This is not the lifestyle. The lifestyle in Jesus Christ and ends in the Lamb's Book of Life, it should not be that type of lifestyle. You know, it is human nature to believe a bad story rather than a good one about a person. Again, back in Psalms 19, and some of these are scattered a pretty good ways out. In Psalms chapter 19, and if you look in verse, let's see. 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be accepted in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Isn't that amazing? A talebearer's word can't be accepted. He said, let the word of my heart, notice again, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be accepted in thy sight, O Lord, who's my strength and my redeemer. It's a known fact that we must not be bearers nor be receivers of false witnesses in our hearts nor upon our lips. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 25, the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus, he said, wherefore, putting away the lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Again, some defend their lie of living by talking about how good God is. Sometimes a person can be like butter and talk about how good God is, and yet their life be a lie living. And nobody even know it. Guaranteed you and I wouldn't know it unless we had seen something, but thank God is letting us know He knows it. He knows if what we are saying matches how we are living. Folks, you don't know that. Is it shocking to you to realize that God not only knows what we say if it matches how we live? Because it does. And by the way, that's the only thing that matters anyhow when it comes to the Lord. Talking about this tail-bearing thing now, like this. How about another one? Sometimes, and I use this, talking about how good God is and yet not living for God. If God is as good as the one says He is, you ought to be living for Him. Like someone else talks about, said you talk about giving, and they say, oh, talking about, yeah, boy, I give, but do they give God His tithe? See, a person can talk about how they give, but if they're robbing God from the tithe, they're not really giving anything because that comes first. Yeah, we don't like that, but it's tail-bearing if we talk about giving and don't give God the tithe. Not only that, it's a robber too. See, the law, no wonder you and I, this law kills us. Without the mercy and the grace of God, without the blood of Jesus Christ, the letter killeth. It destroys. And by the way, the law would slap everyone else in the mouth at the bema seat of Christ too if it were not for the blood of Jesus Christ. We're still under condemnation of this law as far as the flesh is concerned, and yet only the blood of Christ can help us stand in the presence of God one day and the law not condemn us. We don't even understand what God has done for us. He died, and that blood makes it possible for us who many times are caught in the trap of not fulfilling even these commandments and this completion. Oh, we hadn't killed anybody, maybe, but boy, God says murder is more than just actual event of killing someone. You remember when we sowed to that? So you see, if it weren't for the blood of Christ, someone was talking about living. Well, thank God I live above sin. Hey, look at the Ten Commandments and come back and tell me that. Don't put 10 things on the wall and say, well, see, thou shalt not kill. I've never killed anybody. I'm okay. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I've never committed adultery, actually, deed. And you put those 10 things up there. Hey, anybody could meet that probably. But on the other hand, when you begin to look at the depth of what God has said, and he looks not only the deed, but the motive behind the deed, the thought behind the deed, then you find out, boy, thank God for Jesus Christ. I thank him more so now, 51 years later, this September 27th, than I did when I first got saved, because I understand trying to live whatever God said live through the years is impossible because of this old flesh. And that don't make me waller in sin either. Well, I said, well, be that way. I just go ahead and live like I want to and let the blood take care of it. Not if you really understand who God is and who Christ is. You want to serve him. And when you find something breaks his heart, you don't want to waller it. You don't make it a lifestyle. You want to be sure that you get it corrected and ask God to help you when those times come, you see. And he goes on. These other things that look at all troubles in churches involve false witness at some point or another. Did you know a complainer will complain more if someone else will listen? You ever noticed that? Have you ever seen somebody come and say, oh, here comes Sister So-and-so, Brother So-and-so. You know what? If I don't mean to be mean, but I declare I have to sit 30 minutes and listen to that same old thing, what happened about her aches and pains. That's all, Brother So-and-so. Good man, but I declare it takes 45 minutes. Same story. I don't mean that people don't need an outlet. It always makes me feel better to tell someone how much I'm hurting. I don't know why. It just does that. And Barbara gets tired of hearing it. So I got to tell somebody else once in a while, you know. But you know where I'm at. You know, haven't you seen people that way? They just enjoy and wallowing in their pain. Not here. We're talking about other people somewhere else, you see. Amen. Again, it's interesting. I want you to notice in Galatians chapter 5 how we have the victory. I'm talking about what does a where does a lie end up? Watch in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Here's what Paul said. He said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." I love that. "And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You may have some downward spirals, and you may end up falling at times. But if you walk in the Spirit, he says, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I believe that. That's just as much as thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This verse is just as much as that verse in Romans 10:9 is. If you walk in the Spirit, you can't do that without this book. You can't do that without the Word of God hidden in our heart either. And you see, if you do that, you will walk. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. My faith is evidence of my God, and this is my gender in life. This is my thing in life. In Psalm 19:14 again, he said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be accepted in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." In Hebrews chapter 11 is that great chapter in the Bible, the saints showing their beliefs by obeying what God said. And you go to read that, and you ought to read it just to the fact of historical events of those who served God and why they did it. And notice something. They concentrated on him, whatever God said. Not a reward, not the circumstances. And we in our day, we ought to be concentrating in Christ, because it's him where our belief starts. Did you know that, ladies and gentlemen? Hear me this. You say, I believe in God. Not unless it starts in Christ. In the age of grace, since the time that Jesus rose from the dead, proven that with authority, he's who he said he was. And the fact is, our belief in God has to start with Jesus Christ, or it is a pseudo-belief. We concentrate on him, not the reward. You've heard me say so many times, isn't it a wonderful thing that God has given us all these laid out things to do, and when we do it, He rewards us for it. And then you see somebody who's really sold out to God and say, well, they're just trying to do it for reward. That's all the reason they're doing it for the reward. No, we do it because we love Him. And then we thank Him that He recognizes us, that He says these are the rewards. He tells us what they are when we get there one day. We concentrate on Him and not the reward. Our belief starts in Christ. And then the process, when we hear the gospel and our belief starts in Christ to the true and living God by receiving Christ, who is God in the flesh, and then the Holy Spirit comes and abides in us. And then He helps us study the Word of God while we're communicating to Him in prayer, which now opens the wonderful doors of heaven, that not only do I pray towards heaven, but I pray and I can come. Amazes me. I can come to the very throne of God. I mean, right in the very presence of God as a son because of Jesus and because of the blood. I can go right to the very throne of God and have a petition, have an audience with Him in prayer. Verbally speak to Him. But He doesn't verbally speak to me back like I would pray to Him. He verbally speaks to me back as I study this book. This is His word for me. Prayer is words to Him, recognizing who He is, knowing that He's all powerful, but yet at the same time, thanking Him that God has made a way that I could be called a son of God, or you could be called a daughter of God, and there I come to the throne of grace. The blood allows us to come right in. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. If I would go tonight and try to see Obama, well, he wouldn't see me anyhow, I know that. But if I had any way to go and see him, I wouldn't have an audience with him. But well, I've got an audience anytime I want with God. You see, you're bragging. No, I know who it's for because Jesus Christ made it possible. I can go to him anytime I want to, anywhere I'm at. And all I got to do is go and address him in the way my heart be right, be cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ, and go right to him and make my petition to him, or just praise him like I do just about every morning before I wake up, or after I wake up, you know, early in the morning, and just want to praise him. Just want to, not asking anything, God, not asking a thing. I just want to thank you. I just want to praise you. Why I'm feeling good, why my mind's fresh, not last night when I was half dead, lay down and go to sleep, but the first thing in the morning, have the freshness of you in my mind so I can think clearly. You see thoughts of what they're supposed to be as I pray to you and realize that through Jesus Christ I have this access. And once I see him and believe in Christ, then the Word of God begins to communicate with me as I communicate him with prayer. While we communicate with us through his word, we can communicate to him in prayer. And it is an amazing thing. When I learn his word, he shows me how I can communicate to him in prayer. But I wouldn't dare try to approach the throne of grace without the blood of Jesus Christ. I have no access there without that. And with that, I can come right to the very throne. By the way, isn't it an amazing thing? I don't know. We probably got 125 people here tonight, so, you know. Isn't it an amazing thing? Every last one of us can go at the same time. And he can deal with us individually. That's God I'm talking about. I'd hate to know that when I went to the Lord, all of you ahead of me and I had to wait like I do at Walmart and places. Wouldn't you? I get tired of waiting. I was the other night, I had one item, soap, and I needed it. And I declare, I never got to the line. Two or three times I was very much tempted to put it on the side and just walk out. I almost did. Another day of smelly wouldn't matter anyhow. Aren't you glad you see that this thing, thou shalt not bear false witness? I thank you, Lord, Thank you. Bless tonight our people who are here, Lord. We've endured this in the last weeks and months. Dear Lord, we've seen something about your law, though it is stronger than the world looks at it. And that's the reason Satan fights it so hard, because it gets beyond just the surface. It goes underneath where we live at. And God, the Spirit, reveals it to us. And dear Lord, when you show us how much more we need you, the world looks at it as being something they got to do to be right with you. And they don't realize, Lord, they could try to keep every bit of it and defend it one way, James said, and they'd be guilty of it all. So are we all. Lord, even now, been saved, been washed in the blood of the Lamb. If I try to keep every ounce, every one of the laws except one, and offended in one place, partially offended, just not completely break one, if there's such thing as that, but partially offended, well, guilty of it all. That's what the Scripture says. We're so glad we don't have to be guilty because of the blood of Christ. We're glad to understand that when God deals with us through His Word, we say, Lord, help us. We see it, Lord. We see it. Please help us. We see what you mean. Lord, we feel helpless sometimes because you know us better than we know ourselves. You and us, we'll just glorify our dirt, come through a process called procreation that you set up from a man and a woman. And Father, there's so many times we're just not in control. Sometimes we don't want to be. Sometimes we'd like to be and just don't feel what to do. Sometimes we don't even know what to do. We do the wrong thing. We're not making excuses, Lord, because we do have the Word of God. We do have the Spirit of God living in us, and you do teach us what we need to know. But we're glad that when we don't know, or maybe when we do, and for some reason or circumstance, fear comes in. And there's not a one here, don't feel fear at times. Fear is something that causes us to know to do something that's right and suddenly change it a little bit because of fear. Satan uses fear, yes, and even our day, in our nation, to cause people sometimes to think wrong, to do wrong, or think it don't matter this time, or be afraid and make a wrong decision. Dear Father, we have to look at things and realize, Lord, I need you as much right now as I need you the day I got saved. And I thank you for understanding that. Please help this frail body. Help my life to be more now than it would have been years ago because of what little knowledge I know. And then please forgive me those areas I fail you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.